So hello and welcome to episode 2 of Inside Therapy with me, Helen Gregory, and I'm joined by my colleague, Andrea Killeen. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Helen.
How are we?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. Yeah.
We're a little bit excited to be back.
Yeah.
Second week. We had some good feedback, didn't we last week?
We did have some good feedback last week, yeah.
So we're here today having, last week said, all of this information about post-lockdown. And then what happened? We recorded it on the Sunday, didn't we?
Yeah.
And then what happened on the Monday?
Monday evening, we get told we're going back into lockdown number 3.
So wonderful, isn't it? Here we go. So we are now thinking about how we can help people in lockdown. So last week we were talking about post-lockdown. Now we're talking about helping people in lockdown, aren't we?
Yes.
And in particular this week, we are looking at relationships, how to handle relationships. So thriving, surviving and thriving in lockdown with an emphasis on relationships.
Yes, wonderful. And I thought I'd just recap from last week, if that's okay. The Monday mindset, which consists of the 6 M's. Mm-hmm. So I'll just quickly run through those. And I believe that we're going to go into it from meditation this week, which is our number 1.
Excellent.
We'll also be giving a demonstration of that next week if you tune in, folks. That'll be a little meditation taster to show how you can actually use this in your everyday practice. It's really quite simple, just a 10-minute one, just to give you a taster. So I'm going to run down from the 6 Monday mindset. So number 1 was meditation, as we've just said. And number 2 is movement. So we'll, as the weeks go on, we'll be discussing these in more detail. So number 3 is music. And how you can help, you know, use that to help lift your mood and so on and so forth. And number 4 is the mindfulness. Now, that is a subject, you know, quite prevalent to us today. We're hearing a lot about mindfulness, so we will do a section on that in the weeks to come, because that needs a bit more discussion, I think. But it can be very, very helpful in, you know, like I say, lockdown, as we're dealing with the present moment, you know. So this is why it's quite poignant. And then number 5 is the motivation that then can come out of this mindfulness and so on and so forth, because obviously that's an area that we do get lacking whilst we're in lockdown, not
yes.
able to do so many
yes.
things and things like that. So 6 is the momentum. So it's about keeping these things and practices going, like going for your walk every day, keeping your routines, you know, keeping everything as normal as possible, watching your TV programmes, doing all these types of things. But that in itself will be another subject matter. We're going to delve into these each week on a more, on a deeper level sort of thing, so we can give you more insights on how to go about it. But having said that, now, the 6 M's, mindfulness, Monday mindset, I'm going to hand over to Helen, because I wanted you, Helen, if you wondered if you would be able to just give us a little bit of a insight onto how you got through the lockdown. I know you had something quite particular happen.
And we're talking lockdown 1.
We're talking lockdown now. 1. That's right. Yeah, let's define
yeah.
it. Lockdown 1. I know that, you know, in your relationship, you had quite a few issues, didn't you? And I really wanted you to share, because you were so powerful, how you came through that. And it's a real good model to help other people. And that is your, I know that's your one of your passions as well. So if anybody needs any further help with that after you've discussed your side of things, then they can obviously get in touch.
Sure.
So I'll hand it over to you now, Helen.
Well, we were just talking about meditation.
Yes.
You mentioned meditation. And then I was thinking about that word, because I think people naturally think meditation is, you know, sitting with your fingers together and doing umming and and all the rest of it. It isn't necessarily that, is it? Meditation to me is, if you think about the word, it's about meditating.
Yes.
To me, meditating is about thinking. So really what happened to me last year when my partner left me 5.5 years into our relationship, all very, very sudden, discovered he was having an affair, and 2 weeks later, basically, he'd gone. And I did an awful lot of thinking at that time. Now, my initial reaction, and I think that's true of a lot of people, I thought it was my fault. I thought it was something that I'd done, that I was responsible for. You know, what had I done to cause this?
Yeah.
Because that's your natural reaction, I think.
Sure.
And then that kind of turned, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, it's not me, it's you, mate. You know, it's not me that's done anything wrong here. I'm perfect, you know, I'm fine.
Yeah.
And so the thought process went on and I started therapy and came to see you, Andrea. And that's how our relationship began, wasn't it? In terms of my healing anyway, you showed me that actually I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. We are human beings. Therefore, we are flawed. And that was a real insight to me because obviously I knew I wasn't perfect, but I didn't realise how much was going on under the surface. And I think it was that thought process, that meditation, that meditating that I did over my situation, over the problem that I was experiencing.
Yeah.
And what followed on from that meditating in terms of opening myself up and healing myself was very, very powerful. And I think that's, you know, taking it back to lockdown and what we're saying to people here about relationships is that it doesn't have to be as extreme as finding out your partner's cheating or even breaking up. It could just be that you're under stress at this moment in time, couldn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And I think this is the key factor, isn't it? That everybody's relationship are going to be under stress and strain you know, at the moment, particularly with the, you know, the lockdown and the uncertainty of when it's, you know, going to end, and this the whole process that we're all being forced to address, a new way of being in a way, to, you know, how we're going to school our children is now at home, so that's putting pressure on relationships, you know, just being in the, all of us being there at one time, which is kind of unheard of, I guess, in the modern family. We've all been, you know,
and in a small space,
yeah,
really.
A small space,
you know,
as well, yeah.
A lot of people live quite, you know, on top of one another, don't they?
Yes.
I was reading something online the other day about a couple, and they were a couple, they got no children, but they lived in such a small house, or maybe an apartment, that they had to sort of take it in turns to use a workspace. So one would be up in the bedroom, and one would be in, you know, the dining area where they were making a makeshift office.
Yeah.
And then they change. I mean, how stressful that must be, actually.
I think this is what the big challenges I'm hearing anyway, in my own private work with people, that, you know, that stress and strain, not only have you got to try and work from home, which was, was a real treat beforehand.
Absolutely.
I think when you had the option, but now it's actually being forced upon you. And also your children are going to be schooled at home by you. So that's going to be another added pressure. And, you know, who's going to manage that? And often parents don't feel confident, really, in the teacher's role. No. You know, as we both know, that can cause stress and tensions between the children and the parent. And, you know, these other anxieties and stress can build up, can't they? So it then sort of tips into, I know someone was talking about their child using the Xbox, you know, something they were trying to disencourage. Now they're having to try and encourage them because that's the only place they can actually have some, you know, socialisation, would you say, or connection to their friends.
Right, of course, because they play online, don't they? I thought you just meant in terms of the game, but in terms of the wider picture, that's the only way that they get to meet their friends.
Yeah, absolutely. Crikey. So that was, you know, said to me just a few weeks ago, last week, actually. That was something that, you know, we need to sort of focus on, don't we, to say, well, how would you manage that a bit better? Or, you know, setting those boundaries in terms of, you know, how long do you socialise and how long is it playing games? You know, I guess that could be a thing.
Yeah.
But it's just these new ways and new boundaries that we need to set and ways of doing things, I think.
Oh, I think so, definitely.
Yeah, so I'd just love to hear a lot more, you know, how you went about, you know, creating this course, didn't you, out of this?
But it covers that. The course isn't totally about that. But my mini course, which I'm just about to launch, is called Stop Sobbing, Start Living. And that's, you know, it's going to be a powerful tool, I hope, for people. And it's got six modules and it's about understanding what's going on in your life.
Right.
To enable you to move forward. And part of that is, you know, assessing the way that you live your life and what happened before. What sort of situation were you in with your partner when they when they left you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the course is purely focused at the moment on relationships that have broken down. But I think in terms of taking that course forward, what I do want to do is make that more accessible to, you know, to the wider populace. But that's for the future. But yeah. There are a lot of lessons to be learned from this, not just for people who've been in a relationship that's broken down, but in general life, really.
Right. So relationships that are just under stress as they might be right now. So
exactly,
yeah, these are tools and good things that you can practice will help improve the dynamic possibly of that relationship.
Absolutely.
Or the space within that you're sort of forced into and making that a lot more accessible and probably more pleasant.
Definitely. I mean, you mentioned routine, didn't you?
Yes.
And,
you
know, sort of making sure that there's some expectation as to who does what.
Yes.
And I think that's really crucial, because I think certainly in my relationship, we didn't have that. There was the expectation was that I would do everything, but I'd let that happen.
Mm.
And I think a lot of women do let that happen, because they are the caregiver, they're the mother, the nurturer.
Sure,
and then you almost automatically fall into that position. It isn't always the woman, is it? It sometimes is the man who takes on that role, but quite often it is the woman, you know? And as such, my children were older, so I wasn't a hands-on mother of a five-year-old or anything like that. My children were 18 and 20, or a bit younger than that when I first met him. But I naturally, you know, I'm a cook, I do the laundry, I do the ironing, I do the folding, I do everything that is entailed in a domestic, in a domestic situation.
Right.
And I think that's the expectation still, you know, for a lot of people our age.
Yes, yeah, especially our generation, I think.
Yeah.
I do see in the more modern couples that, you know, them going sharing the workload now, so women are in the workplace as well.
Yeah.
I've noticed the more modern husbands, at least the ones I talk to, on the whole, are sharing that role a bit more. So they're doing a bit more with the children, possibly, you know, doing half the school run and picking them up or dropping them off, you know, depending on job roles and times and so on. But I suppose now that isn't, a school run isn't an issue at the moment.
Well, no, but I suppose you've still
got
the education.
You need to have that education, who's going to manage it.
Yep, that's it.
You know, so when you've got your own jobs as well to do, must be, you know, I guess there's a lot of discussion, maybe new discussions, new talking around roles and so on and so forth. Yeah.
Yes, I think so. I think that's very true. And I think the other thing that springs to mind, and again, I didn't have this problem because my ex worked away a lot, so I was on my own a lot.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, when I was reading that article the other day about the two people in a small space and having to share workspace and so on, my initial thought was, how on earth do they get any space? How do they get any privacy? I think that would drive me demented, wouldn't it, you?
Mm.
You know, and especially because both of us are used to our own space, aren't we? We like our own space.
Yes, we do.
So I think we're quite lucky in that sense. Mm. But if you're especially if you've got kids as well, how the heck do you find that space?
Yes.
So to me, it would be, my natural instinct would be to get out of the house, to go for a walk, and like you said earlier, have that routine where you get out every day, and not just to get exercise, but just to get some headspace and to get some almost, well, your privacy.
That's right. Yes.
Do you think so?
I do, yeah. I think it's a really good point. Because also, you know, things that, like, as we all know, you know, you can get cabin fever just in a few hours, you know, with people trying to, you know, get all these tasks done, you know, like school, like we said, homeschooling is a very frustrating thing, I'm sure, because, you know, people trying to take on board technology and, you know, the children are a bit, you know, they're not in that routine as so much, I wouldn't think, you know, like in school, they've been doing that routine for quite a long time. This new one, you know, is going to take some time, isn't it, for the kids to pick up on.
How to
use the computers even, or
how
to work in that way. So it's all these remodeling these old behaviours now, and sort of, you know, modifying them, I think.
Mm.
So, you know, say if you could make a routine where one parent goes for a walk, maybe with the dog or with the child or with both, and, you know, incorporate going to the shop, for instance.
Yes,
you know,
definitely.
If that's the, you know, so then you're giving the other partner some space maybe to get on with a bit of work, and then vice versa. Possibly later on, you know, they switch those roles, and, you know, so it actually can be a really fulfilling exercise, I guess, because you can both nurture each other and probably do roles that you may not have done before.
Well, yeah, and the other thing that springs to mind as well is household chores. I was talking to my mum this morning on the phone and she said, do you know what, I've not dusted for ages. And I said, doesn't matter, does it? Because she's had a bad back.
Yeah.
And my stepdad is not very well at the moment. So she said, not dusted and I feel terrible. I said, look, who's coming to the house? Nobody. Nobody can go to the house, can they?
That's true.
So does it actually matter if the dusting doesn't get done?
Yeah.
But more than that, you know, if you've got a family, let's say you're a mum and a dad and a couple of kids, even if those kids are quite small, give them the responsibility. What were we talking about earlier?
Really, yes.
About setting your children up for life.
Yeah.
You know, they may never have done a job before in their lives, but please use this opportunity to give them the skills that they will need going forward.
That is so
Show
true.
Them what a duster is.
Yeah.
Show them what a sweeping brush is.
Again, so often, you know, I think these children get channeled into doing so much education, a lot of pressure on them there. I know with my two, it was such heads down with the A-levels, there's so much to learn that I did take over that role, you know, didn't expect them to do so much around the house, I guess, and things like that. But then, you know, thinking, gosh, they're going to uni that following year. So then I did try and, you know, encourage them to learn how to cook, to learn how to do their washing and budgeting and things like that. Very helpful, you know, small things, but
totally
really necessary. Really helpful and necessary
yeah.
for them, you
yeah.
know. And that will actually, if you think of it, that could stop a lot of, you know, stress meltdowns for that young person when they go away from home. You know, not having the basics in place
can be very
stressful.
Yeah,
and I think that's a lot of why a lot of young people's mental health breaks down. Simple as that.
You know, because they're under stress when they go away.
Because they, you know, not only have they got to take in all these new routines and this new building, this new place and these new people, they've also got to take on board a new kitchen, and nobody's going to be there cooking it for them like the mum possibly was, you know, and little things like that while they got on with their work. Now they've got to incorporate that.
Yeah,
so it can be quite overwhelming. So it's, you know, start now, start them early, like you say, you know, and kids love to do little jobs.
They do, and do you know what?
Feel a part and feel helpful and all
of
that.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. And you know, when my marriage broke down, so that was 2011, and the kids and I moved into a new house, and I was struggling to get everything done, and again, I did the same old thing. I need to be the be all and end all. I was trying to do everything. I was running my own business as well, which was long hours. I did everything for the kids. And one day my brother came over and he said to me, what are you doing? And he'd separated from his wife and it was just him and his son. And he said he always encouraged Alex to do things almost equally to him. So, you know, if John cooked, Alex would wash up. If John did put the washing on, Alex would take it out and fold it. So it was almost like a 50-50 partnership.
Yeah.
And I thought about this and I thought, no, you're right. I'm actually burning myself into an early grave almost, because I'm just trying to burn the candle at both ends and do everything. And I set up what I thought was something really good at the time, and I still think it's quite good. And we called ourselves Team Gregory. So the three of us were Team Gregory. And if they moaned and if they whined, I said, come on, it's Team Gregory. We're going to get this sorted. And that worked because they were, what were they, 9 and 11, I think?
Yeah.
And it was brilliant. And it was that, and I think that there's a lot to be said for almost forming your own little family team, isn't there? Mm-hmm. You know, whether you're on your own or if you've got a partner or however it is, because that then encourages them. It gives them almost like membership of a club.
That's right.
You know, and motivates
them. Sense of status.
And absolutely.
You know, so they're not feeling... like, you know, also it can make them feel a bit more mature, because if you're treating them more like an adult, if you treat them like an intelligent human being, often they may act like one.
Totally.
But if we tend to pick up after them and be, you know, mollycoddling them, as we used to call it.
Yes.
You know, or trying to do everything because we feel, we didn't have that, so we're going to do that for them. But actually just take a step back, just see the bigger picture and think, does this really help them?
Absolutely.
You know, does this really help them to, you know, feel valuable, feel that, you know, they are a part of this? You know, it doesn't just happen.
No,
they
that's
are a part
it.
Of it. And then that means that once it doesn't work, maybe if mum's not around, they can then step in and do these things for themselves.
Yeah.
Which creates independence.
Doesn't it?
And that is what we've been, you know, giving our children for, isn't it?
Yeah.
To teach them to be independent adults.
Yeah, that's right. And being role models rather than, I don't know what the opposite is, you know, when we just do everything for them. We should be role models, that we show them how to
That's
do these
right.
things.
Yeah.
And then they learn from us.
So, yeah. So you're teaching by example rather than, you know, just like, that's what people say to me a lot. You know, I shout at the top of my voice and it doesn't work. And I think, well, why can you keep doing it?
Yeah.
If it's not working, we need to stop doing that and do something different. And that's not a criticism. That's just how life works. Yeah. It's like, you know what? That doesn't work. Try something else.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you will find that, you know, you'll find your way. You really will.
It's true. It is so true.
You're getting your flow, like you say. Then you've got your team and then everybody's, you know, there's dynamics that can really help out because people are not feeling, I'm doing everything, or I'm, you know, and then the grumpiness, and then, you know, the bad mood, and then there could be anger rising.
And resentment. You get cross with people because you feel like you're taking on everything yourself.
That's right. And after, you know, then you would get into resentment. So, you know what? Let's cut that cycle. Let's ask for help early on. Let's remodel a new family way of being, which could be, let's all help each other, you know? And that was the fundamental part of family. It wasn't for one person to be treated better than anybody else. And it meant that everyone could work as a team. And I think that's key.
And do you know what else springs to mind, Andrea, with all of this? You know, we're talking about how to handle these relationships in lockdown. A fundamental thing that I think is missing in a lot of relationships is kindness, being kind. Yes. And almost from that, not just the kindness, it's the tolerance and the understanding. I think we almost lack respect. And what do they say? Familiarity breeds contempt. Yeah. And I'm afraid it's true because often you are so familiar with that person that you're almost a bit dismissive of them. And, you know, we don't listen enough and we don't give people enough respect and understanding and kindness.
Yes, yeah. That's a good, really good principle. And I think that was left to us, wasn't it, with Caroline Flack, thinking of that.
Oh, my goodness, yes, yes. And actually, I'd like to plug something here because there is something absolutely amazing going on social media that somebody else alerted me to the other day. And it's all about, I think it's called something like Kindness Day. I'll have to find it and I'll mention it. If I can think of it, I'll find it. And
well, I think he's thinking of those qualities, isn't it, of kindness. Like you say, being thoughtful, you know, being thinking of the other person as opposed to what am I going to get out of this?
Absolutely.
Because actually being kind and doing something for someone else gives you so much.
Oh, it really does.
It really does. And, you know, and then you don't have the power struggle either because that, you know, as natural as we are as human beings, we usually respond very well to those sorts of things. But or we want to, and then often we're stopped because somebody might be, you know, doing too much and feeling that they have to do that, but they can't communicate it. So I think it's important to look for those little signs as well to see if someone's feeling a bit stressed. Can I take that off you? You know, how can I help you? Ask, how can I help?
That's the best one. Lovely thing.
Isn't that lovely? Yeah. And it's like, how can I help? Not try. The other thing is because you could upset someone by, I can do that better. Let me get in there and I'll do it and take it over. Now that is an assault really on somebody's, you know, ability to, you know, we all have that innate ability as human beings to be capable.
True.
To do what we are so creative. We want to do these things. So it's allowing that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it might be a bit of mess or it might be a bit of, you know, like if they're cooking or something, but it's better to have that and teach your children how to do it. And then the messiness can come, you know, get cleaned up afterwards.
Totally. Yeah.
But actually allowing that, you know, and even if you could do it better, maybe just giving them that space, like you've just said, to allow them to grow and to, you know, to see themselves achieving something.
Yeah, that's it. And the kindness in your response, how you respond to that is going to be so important.
And I think that's it, like you're saying, that common courtesy, you know, how can I help you? Not get out of the way, I'm going to do it now. You know, that type of thing. You might be saying, well, I'm doing it. You know, but it's the way that you say it.
Definitely.
Those things are going to have so much value, especially in close quarters now. You know, and I'm sure people have experienced that in the beginning of this lockdown. But now we really should, you know, be getting to grips with this, shouldn't we? Because it's so, so important and it can make so much difference.
Oh, so much, so much. And I think the other thing we chatted about, you know, before we started this was how if you are having problems in a relationship, you know, what's the best way to deal with those? Because we thought, you know, there are people. I think divorce rates, I put something on Facebook actually yesterday on Beyond the Cheat, and it was about divorce rates. And they've rocketed.
Have they?
Absolutely
really?
Rocketed. Absolutely. Yeah. So, or inquiries about divorce, I think.
So yeah, these little things can actually, you know, these things that you're sharing now can really help to prevent escalation of these.
Totally.
Types of things.
But if you are in that situation, yes, of course, try all of these things. But it must be pretty challenging if the cracks were already there, maybe.
Right.
Before lockdown.
Yes.
And you're living in a situation where, you know, it's quite tough and it's quite fraught and, you know, there's a lot of anger and tension on both sides.
Yes.
Then,
yeah.
You know, that must be really difficult. What do you think is the best way to handle that?
Well, I think, you know, if you can, my first thing that springs to mind is, you know, how about going out? Because again, if you're going to do it in the house and you've got children around, it's not the best thing, is it? And when's the best time? Now, we haven't got that kind of space as we used to have.
No.
So how about, you know, going out on a family walk and the kids run in front where you can, you know, have a little bit of discussion, you know, maybe that's a thing. Or designate a time. Don't do it, you know, the right time for you might be wrong time for somebody else. So, you know, making some time. And I think you were talking a bit about that, weren't you, to me earlier, about, you know, respecting people's
space.
Boundaries and space.
Yeah, And I think it's important to remember, like you just said about talking when it suits you might not suit somebody else. And I think the whole thing about lockdown is that we all cope differently with it.
Absolutely.
Everybody has a different, you know, method
response,
of coping, don't they?
Yeah, strategies.
Yeah. And I think you talked about having a conversation, you know, out for a walk or whatever. I think there's also an argument for actually putting conversations like that on hold for the moment. And that, you know, because why create more
distress?
So maybe if you are having problems as a couple, then just put it to the back burner. I know that's not going to be easy, but bear in mind that, you know, we don't know how long lockdown's going to go on for. Mm. You could be in that situation for quite some time.
Yeah.
And who actually is going to want to, you know, disrupt a whole household by moving out in the middle of all this? Where would you go? How would you do it? It's just, it's almost, to me, that seems like an impossible task.
But
I think there's an argument for not having those conversations. Maybe just, you know, holding back a little bit.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point, yeah.
Mm. And then also, there might be a situation where you might be going into lockdown already having an argument about something, a particular situation.
Yes.
So maybe just call a truce, you know, just say that's enough. Let's park it up. And again, it's back to being kind, doesn't it? Being kind to yourself.
Absolutely.
Kind to one another.
Absolutely.
And I think
that's a really good point.
Yeah. And then if things are horrendous,
right,
and you need to have some therapy, then
there are online forums, as myself, you know, I can offer support there, and Helen, you know, as well. So, you know, please do get in touch. We really are struggling, and it's, you know, it's really difficult, you know, because we don't have an end date, do we?
No.
And this is really stressful when, you know, we understand that it's, you know, patience is involved, and you know, and just that that not knowing. So I think it's bringing it back to the here and now. There's stuff, loads of things we can do in the here and now if we can't do anything about the situation.
Yes.
So I think it's staying in those routines, watching those programs, if, you know, trying to keep things as normal as possible, and just allowing that extra time and space. You know, for everybody in the household as well.
Yeah, definitely. And just checking how everyone's feeling. Kids as well.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, even if they're little.
Yeah.
Particularly if they're little, I don't know.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, they have emotions as well.
Absolutely.
So, you know, something that might, like I said before, may present as anger or frustration. It might be, you know, somebody's just, for instance, you know, hasn't been able to do something at school, you know, on the schoolwork, and they're worried about that, or, you know, or just any of these other new things that we may not always pick up on, because they are new situations that, you know, that are bothering the child, or even, you know, any of your other children, really. So, yeah, giving time, really, to say, are you doing okay?
Yeah.
And even, you know, little systems where you can say, you know, stick something on the fridge if you want a word, like you do in the classroom. You can
mimic
some of those things, like say smiley faces or not smiley faces, and then mum can pick up, or dad, that, you know, or partners and so on can pick up that, you know what, there's a problem here, and let's have a little chat, and it can resolve so much.
Yeah.
I mean, I know in an hour of therapy, and you know, I do my forms beginning and at the end, as you know, and it's incredible what can change.
Yeah, in 1 hour. Through talking.
Just through talking, communicating and understanding where someone else is coming from.
Yeah, so important, isn't it? It really is.
That can resolve a lot of tension that doesn't need to build up, really.
Yeah. And I think, you know what, if the worst comes to the worst and, you know, you do feel that you have to get out, then you have to be brave enough to make that decision.
Right.
You know, if whether you're a man or a woman, that you've got to do what's right for you.
I agree, yeah.
And I think the other thing we ought to mention as well, and I'm sure people know this, but if they're in any danger at all, they need to contact the police. And I've seen quite a few things where they're saying, you know, it doesn't matter about lockdown.
No.
If you're in danger.
Absolutely. We'll not stress that. Yeah, there is numbers. And I'm sure some of you know, if you look on, you know, look up beforehand where these, you know, help.
But in an emergency, surely.
In emergency, 999. Yeah. So in emergency 999, don't forget, you know, to use them. But there are other forums that if you're really struggling, that you can go on, that you can actually shut down if your partner's looking at something, as I've seen before now. So the screen will actually...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it tells you on, and when you go on to it in the corner,
if you
press that, it will not be recovered, so that nobody would know you were on it. So
that's good.
Can do those quite discreetly if you're in a situation.
Yeah. I didn't know about that.
And you haven't got, you know, you can't speak to a therapist or anything else.
Okay, well, I just want to share that. You know, I was talking about the
social media.
I think it's called Social Media Kindness Day.
Oh, lovely.
Just trying to get my mouse to work on my screen. My God, it's so. I'm pretty sure it's Social Media Kindness Day.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you can't find it, Google Caroline Flack, Social Media and Kindness, and it will come up. But it's basically you pledge. To be respectful and kind on social media. What an amazing thing to do. And I think we all should do it, because there are some horrible people out there on social media who just seem to want to take down anything that's nice and anything that's good. So, you know, let's all be a little bit kinder. Absolutely.
Yeah, and we've all been, you know, I think we were doing this a lot before the lockdown, weren't we? But now it's, you know, extra special time to be more kind, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I found it at last. Social Media Kindness Day. .com.
Fantastic.
And you make your pledge. So next week, what are we talking about, Andrea?
Oh, well, I said I'm going to do my little taster of meditation. I thought that would be a nice way. So let's talk about meditation. Let's talk about, you know, how that can help you in a situation. It's something, you know, that I've used for many, many years, and I found it's one of the most valuable tools. And as we said, you know, don't get caught up on, you know, that it's hard to do it or anything else. Or you have to empty your mind, or any of these things you may have heard. Just come along, and I think the best way to do most things in my life, I've found, is to experiment. Yeah. And if you know, to have the experience.
Give it a go.
And you can always, you know, then you can be a real taster, can't you, and say whether you like it or not. But if you never taste it, how would you ever know?
Oh, that is so true. So true.
And your mum used to say stuff like that.
I still hate beetroot. Anyway, thank you. It's been a wonderful session again.
Lovely Monday. Great to start.
Isn't it brilliant?
Isn't it? And we're so happy to be able to, you know, all you listeners out there, thank you so much for listening in, and hope to see you next week with that taster of mindfulness.
Brilliant.
All the best.
Goodbye.
Bye.